Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John, Jody Mac and Gary Myers here. How you doing, bud?
Good, good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Harp. Quiet week, right?
Is football still going on? You guys still talking football?
We are going to talk some football, yes.
So where do you stand? Jody says the Mets had no choice. They had to get rid of Beltran. I thought maybe they could have ride it out. Where do you stand on that?
You know, my first thought was that they could have ridden it out. And if they had gotten Beltran out there early and explained himself, he explained himself and he was open and honest about it and came off as believable and all that, I thought they could have moved forward. But I tell you, the more I see how this thing is playing out, I think they almost had to cut ties with him, just because I don't know if it's going away. You know, all this stuff with the buzzers and plus there just seems to, and the reaction from other players, I think, you know, starting to get the sense that maybe we should really look at this as a huge deal. I mean, that is a big line they crossed. I mean, we know, you know, sign stealing is one thing, but the way they did it, I mean, that's a huge deal. And the way other players react and tell you just how offensive it was. So to have that guy as your manager, when you know Beltran was a big part of it, otherwise there's no way he's going to be mentioned in that report. I think that might have been difficult. So I think in the end they probably had to do what they did.
Right. How much, and I'm part of my analysis that he couldn't possibly have kept the job was the fact that certain guys like you and Gary say maybe they could have read it. Well, the only way they could have was for him to be out front. And if he was out front and now he lies to Met Nation and then more details come out, now you look even worse. That feared transparency. If they went transparent, it was only going to get a bigger mess. Well, so they said, no, we got to stop now.
But he wasn't there in 2018 if they did get more sophisticated and gone to the buzzer system.
No, but even if you just continue to hear things, and we don't know what Beltran told the Mets. I think that's part of it, too. I don't know. It's possible. I've heard. I don't know if it's true. I've heard it's possible that they are kind of covering for him, because don't forget, Bodie Van Wagenen went on and on about how much they can trust Beltran at the press conference when they hired him, and that was a big part of it. So, I don't know. Maybe for some reason he feels compelled to protect him in some way. I thought Beltran showed terrible judgment when he was asked about it when the story first broke by, I think it was Joel Sherman and Ken Rosenthal, and he basically lied to them. First of all, that's just, you know, a smart guy is going to say, hey, like Cora, I think, and Hinch did, there's an investigation going on, I can't comment. You know, instead he went out there and lied about it. To me, that shows terrible judgment as far as taking the job as manager, because that's a guy you're going to be asked questions under the gun every day. So, I don't know. There's a lot of reasons why I think they had to move on from it.
Harp, do you think on that conference call the other day that they were covering for Beltran, and they did indeed over those 2 months between the story, the Athletic story coming out, and the commissioner's report being released, that they actually did sit down with Beltran, and then for whatever their reasoning would be, they decided to lie about it? Or
it doesn't make him look good. I don't know why they would feel compelled to protect
Beltran, right, exactly,
at that point. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, but it also doesn't make any sense that they wouldn't ask him about it. I don't care about whether, you know, you think you want to let the MLB's investigation play out. Come on, and if you're the GM, you got to ask Beltran what the heck went on down there. We need to know this because we need to know what's going to happen here. That's just terribly negligent on your part if you didn't ask him. I that was to hear that. Now, I know some people are saying maybe they're lying about it, but what do they have to gain by lying about it other than protecting Beltran? Why are you protecting Beltran at this point?
Especially by protecting Beltran, if that indeed is what happened, it just makes the Mets look bad, because everybody's questioning, how can he's your employee, and there was a 2 month gap there. How can you not have one conversation with him other than to say, cooperate with the commissioner and be truthful? If that's right. the only conversation, I mean, that's...
Right. Well, and especially after he's already made public comments about it, saying he didn't do it. You got to ask him, hey, your neck's out there on the line. You know, your word's out there. You know, I need to know. I mean, tell me what happened down there. So that's, listen, I don't know. I got my doubts about Van Wagenen. And I try to give him the benefit of doubt coming in as this agent turning into a GM, thinking, you know, this is a different way to do this, and he's a smart guy and all that. But a lot of the things he's done, you really have to question about what, you know, whether he's capable to do the job.
John, one thing Met fans are now going to want to know is, who is actually going to be the driving force in making the decision as to who the next manager of the Mets is?
Well, I still think it is Van Wagenen. I'm pretty sure that he and Jeff Wilpon have kind of been, you know, in lockstep about most of this stuff anyway. So I don't think there was any huge disagreement in the front office there as far as ownership. So I still think he's the guy making the call, along with, you know, Allard Baird and Omar Minaya. They had a lot to do in convincing him that Beltran was the guy to hire. So I think it's a team effort in that respect. But Van Wagenen has got to be the guy to make the final call here. And it's really going to be interesting now to see what they do. I'm glad to see at least that it's reports of service that at least they're thinking they're going to. That sounds like they're going to talk to Dusty Baker. I mean, you just can't. You know, the first name that popped up the other day is Luis Rojas. I mean, you can't go to a guy who has no experience with the media, big league clubhouse, all that stuff. You know, is only managed in the minors. You just at this point, this team needs a strong hand. I thought they needed it anyway. I mean, I think I heard you guys talking about it before. The whole Girardi thing, I still don't understand the Van Wagenen comment about how, that really annoyed me about the inhaling, exhaling thing going into his office. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was such a shot at Girardi. I mean, come on. Go get the guy who's best for the team. You got a win now team, and you're worried about being collaborative and a guy who's going to let you in the office and talk about everything. Go get the best manager for the job. That's what they need to do now. To me, Showalter's the best guy. I still don't think they'll do that because of the control issue, but at least go out and if you get some kind of veteran guy, if it's Dusty Baker or somebody else, that'd be a better. Or, you know, if you're gonna go first timer, I'd go certainly go Eduardo Perez over Luis Rojas or even Hensley Mullins.
It just seems like bringing in Showalter, who's always done well when he's had good teams. I mean, nobody could have won with the Orioles his last few years there. This is a win now team. It's ready-made to win. He's done well when he's had a good roster. I can see him walking into a situation 3 weeks before spring training starts and hitting the ground running as soon as the pitchers and catchers report and putting the belt. You know, he's the guy that can put the Beltran thing behind him because people in the New York media know him. I think they'd be accepting of him and maybe even believe that he was a better choice to begin with than Beltran.
Yeah, nobody's more detail-oriented than Buck Showalter, and that's why this whole stepping in this late, I don't think it would affect him whatsoever. He's, you know, he's done this a million times, and I mean, he's probably in some ways planning for it already, just in case. That's the way he is. And listen, I thought they needed a veteran guy coming off the Callaway, all the problems, mm-hmm. the in-game problems with Callaway. That's the one thing with Showalter, you know you're going to get a guy who knows how to run a game. And that is Dusty Baker's done really well and he's been great with players and all that. That is the one issue he's had at times is some of his in-game stuff has been questioned over the years. But yeah, I mean, Showalter just seems like if you're not even going to talk to him because he has a reputation of wanting control. He's a smart guy. He wants the information that your front office is going to give mm-hmm. him. He just doesn't want to be sitting in meetings before every game every day being told who to play in left field or who to hit leadoff. And he probably doesn't want to be sitting down with Van Wagenen after the game, a half hour after the game, going over every little detail of the game. So what? You got to trust a manager that he knows what he's doing. I think that's a big issue here.
Harp, John, I was just going to say to Harp, wouldn't it be so typical Mets if they said, okay, we're going to interview Showalter, who's already interviewed in Houston, and now Buck's got the choice of two jobs, and he takes the Astros job, and the Astros are the one that cost the Mets their manager.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, maybe that's where the Astros are going. That would be smart on their part too. But I just don't know how you can't even talk to him at this point, because right now, with everything that's going on, if you're the GM, you want to look smart. Get the surest bet out there. Take as much risk out of this next decision as possible. If you're really thinking about hiring a guy who has no experience, I don't care how highly regarded it is in your system. The risk involved in that is tremendous, just because you just never know how a guy is going to react to so many factors. The big league level, dealing with the New York media, all that stuff. You just don't know.
John, general baseball question. We here in New York care about the Mets, so that's why we're talking as much about Carlos Beltran, but all they really have to do is replace a manager who might not have been the greatest hire anyway. The Astros and the Red Sox had to replace their managers, and the Astros, their general manager. And, oh, by the way, everyone's got an opinion on how tainted their championships are. How does this play out for those two teams this year?
Hey, I mean, it's those are really tough circumstances, especially for the Astros. But they are such a talented – I actually think they're in better shape to win than the Red Sox, just because – they have so much talent. I know they lost Garrett Cole, but they still have a really talented team, and they have some young players coming. If they wind up with Showalter or even John Gibbons, I think he's another guy who could handle a situation like that. And at least for this year, I think the change at the GM isn't going to make that much of a difference. Long term, it's going to have probably a bigger effect than the manager. But for the short term, I don't think it would. I think they could still win. The Red Sox are in a kind of a funny spot here. Now they got to find a manager, and they were already in a situation where this new GM sounds like from everything they've done this winter, they're trying to reduce payroll. They're in a tough spot with Mookie Betts. They got pitchers that are high cost pitchers who are injured. I think they're still going to be competitive, but I don't think they're in a position where you really can expect them to win a championship.
Harp, so we know that the Astros cheated. We'll find out, I guess, relatively soon in the next commissioner's report on the Red Sox. Are we to believe that they're the only two teams that have been cheating, or just some others just haven't been caught?
I think there's probably others that have tried stuff like this, which is, I think, even if players weren't punished, and I think the only reason they weren't is because Manfred didn't want to have to go to war with the Players Association. He knew it would have got dragged out with grievances and all that. But I still think, by doing what he did, that's enough of a deterrent where no manager now is going to stand by and watch this. Obviously, Hinch knew what was going on. No manager is going to let this go on under his watch when he knows he's in peril of this type of suspension. So I think it will be a big deterrent going forward. I don't think a lot of teams went to these kind of extremes, because I think there would have been more. Because you did hear stuff about the Astros. There would have been more rumblings, I think, around the sport. And the more teams that are doing it, the more chance there is of kind of word getting out somewhere or another. Because I said before, this is sign stealing, there's different lengths people have gone to in the past to do it. But this is a pretty big line to cross when you're this blatant about it, using the camera like that. That's obviously new territory because of all the technology and because it's so available with the replay room and all that. But still, Just listen to some of the reactions from other players, and they're strong enough to let you know, I think, that it's not like this was common among around baseball.
Harp, does the stigma for this, for the individual players, whoever you believe did or didn't, the whole Altuve, don't take my shirt off thing, people are going to have opinions on what players benefited from this sign stealing with the Astros down the road when we are 5 years from retirement and got to do what you got to do this past week with Hall of Fame ballots and like. How does this compare to PEDs? More egregious, less egregious because it's done as a group? How do you think guys like Altuve and Bregman, who we might look at as potential future Hall of Famers, will have their post-career looked at because of this?
Yeah, Jody, I've been thinking about that. My first thought was I didn't put it on the same level as the PEDs, but I when you're doing all these type of things, when you're looking at Hall of Fame voting, talking, you always talk to players and people in the sport, and just already some of the reaction from other players is stuff that almost goes past what you ever heard about the steroids. So Maybe this will stick. I don't think it'll stick to these guys in the same way, as long as it doesn't carry forward. But I don't know. I mean, I think it could hurt somebody like Beltran, because when you're talking, especially when you're talking about, if he's considered, he and Cora pretty much seem to be the ringleaders, the guys who really organize this thing. So that could be a significant stain that stays with him and impacts the Hall of Fame voting. It's going to see how it plays out, but I do think that it's going to rise to that level of at least being considered on, because you're cheating the game at a high level, or at a direct level, in a way that even, you know, I saw where a couple of the, I think it was Trevor Bauer, somebody else were on Twitter saying they'd rather, any time in any day of the week, they'd rather face a hitter who's on steroids than face a hitter who knows what pitch is coming. So I think all that stuff goes into it, and at some point these Astros players are going to have to answer for this. I saw where Bregman already today, I think he was at a fan fest or something, and basically he's no comment anything. Well, at some point these guys are going to have to do better than that.
Harp, good stuff. Appreciate you coming on board. Hope you stay as busy over the next couple of weeks. Before you know it, you're going to be in Florida, and the offseason will have come and gone with a little help. Enjoy, my friend.
Yeah. And then watch a little football before that.
Yeah.
There you go. Take care, Harp.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.